Genesis chapter 14. I've been teaching, I began a few weeks ago teaching what a difference a dime makes. What a difference a dime makes. Our theme is on the subject of tithing. This is our third lesson. In lesson number one, we talked about what is the tithe. And we discovered that the tithe is 10% of the believer's increase. We talked about where you should take your tithe. We talked about briefly why God wants us as believers to tithe. Then in lesson two, we talked about what is tithing. So what are we doing when we tithe? Lesson number three, today we're going to talk about the number one objection to tithing. Now, Joel Stockstill, in his article, Tithing and Tongues, Twin T's of Controversy, he says that the two most controversial subjects in the body of Christ begins with the letter T. Tongues and tithing. Now he believes that these two things get so much negative attention because they both have to do with faith over reason or faith over intellect. Now that made a lot of sense to me. That made a lot of sense to me, and I could see his point because when you think about tongues or speaking with tongues, it really doesn't make sense to the natural mind that you can speak in a language that you don't understand, others don't understand, and a language that you did not learn in school. So when you try to think through that and understand that mentally, it doesn't make sense. And then when you think about tithing, you know, it really, if you just use your mind and your intellect, tithing really doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that I can live better off 90% than 100%. It doesn't make sense naturally that I can give away 10% of my income and yet I do much better and I have access to resources and blessings by releasing them. So when you try to mentally think through the tithe issue, it really doesn't make sense. But I believe that there is a lot of controversy about the tithe issue, some for it and some against it. I believe because the power. I believe that there is a power in speaking with tongues. And I believe that there is a power connected to tithing. Now, we have to reserve the speaking with tongues later, and I have a series coming down the pike where we're going to talk about that. But let's talk about this tithing business. And I believe that it would be impossible for me to cover every objection. So I want to just talk about the number one major objection to tithing. And I believe that the number one objection to tithing is the erroneous belief that tithing is legalistic, is under the law, and therefore New Testament believers are not commanded to tithe because we are under grace. Now, I believe that that is the number one reason that people and believers object to tithing. They say that it's legalistic, but so is eating breakfast. They say that it's legalistic, but so is going to work. We go to work every day. They say that it's under the law, and since we are New Testament believers and we are under grace, we no longer are obligated to tithe. So let's talk about it. Let's just talk about it. Now, you may sit here, you may be watching through the internet or watching by television, and you may have your position. And I'm not going to ask you to change your position because you're a free moral agent and you have the capacity to say yes, you have the capacity to say no, you have the capacity to accept, you have the capacity to resist. So I'm not going to ask you to change your position, but I am going to ask you to give me a little time. Give me a little time. I'm just on lesson 3. I got 7 more lessons to go. Give me 10 lessons. Give me 10 lessons. After I talk to you 10 lessons, then you decide.
Amen.
Deal? Well, let's talk about this thing about tithing being under the law. Look at Genesis chapter 14, please. Genesis chapter 14. And notice what it says. I'm reading from the traditional King James, verse 18. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him. Melchizedek blessed him, Abraham, and said, blessed be Abraham, the Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he, Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Now, I don't quite get it. I try to stay open to the truth, and I try to listen to what people have to say. But when people say that tithing is under the law, I don't understand how people that are sincere and study the Bible ignore this text. I don't understand that, because here we see Abraham giving tithes to Melchizedek 430 years before the law was given. We see a man giving tithes. You see, tithing is a universal principle from BC to AD. Tithing was instituted before the law, incorporated into the law, and practiced after the law in New Testament times. Tithing, the principle of tithing, go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Of every tree thou may freely eat. But if the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat from that tree. That tree of the knowledge of good and evil was symbolic of the tithe. Now I want to ask you a question. It's just me and it. Yes, me and you talking now. This is just me and you. This is just us. And I'd like for you to lift your hands, please. Lift your hands and say, I'm not going to get mad at you. Come on, come on, say, I'm not going to get mad at you. Okay, I'm not going to get mad at you either. You know, I don't understand why folk get mad at folk that disagree with them. I don't understand all the emotional stuff connected with people that I don't agree with. I mean, just don't agree. And smile. And stay happy. And keep loving. But I don't fall out with people that disagree. So I just want to ask you a couple of questions. Because I know some of you listening to me right now, I know you already got your doctrinal position. And I know you think, you know, that's under the law. I'm under grace. Question. Under the law, God said, thou shalt not steal. Does being under grace give us the license to steal now? Because we ain't under the law no more. And that law said, thou shalt not steal. So under grace, we can steal now. No, you know that's not true. See, the concept and the principle of thou shalt not steal predated the law. It was incorporated into the law because it was always wrong to steal. Okay. Now you remember you lifted your hands up. And you say you ain't gonna get mad with me. Cause I ain't gonna get mad with you. If it's true that the New Testament is a better covenant, and Hebrews 8:6 says it, then why does the average Christian only give 2% of their income to the gospel? 2.5%. And under the Old Testament, God's people gave approximately 23% of their annual income. It is estimated that only 5% of Americans tithe. Now, when you read the book, I want you to look at that statistic, and I want you to hold that up there for a minute. 2.5%. Christians give 2.5% of their annual income. 2.5. Now, when you read the book of Hebrews, there's one word that summarizes the book of Hebrews. That one word is better. Better. In other words, it's comparing Jesus' ministry to the old covenant. Better, he's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. His priesthood is better than Aaron's. The heavenly temple is better than the tabernacle. The lambs of Christ's sacrifice is better than the sacrifice of animals. A better covenant, better promises. Well, it seems to me that if you really believe that being under the old covenant releases you from tithing, then it seems to me you should be giving more than 10%. Because now, if it's a better covenant, you shouldn't give less. You should be giving more. So let me ask you a question, just me and you. It's just me and you. I'm not going to tell anybody. How much are you giving? Now, I know, please turn over to Matthew chapter 5, please. I know that there are always sincere people on both sides of the ledger. There are sincere people, not ungodly people, not people with impure motives. There are sincere Christians that believe that Christians don't have to tithe today. But on the other hand, now remember, if the shoe doesn't fit you, don't holler. Talking about my feet hurt, don't holler, because I ain't talking to you. There are some Christians, this concept of tithing not for us today is really expedient. Come on, just between me and you. What it does, it releases you from giving. And really think about it, just between me and you. Remember, I ain't talking to everybody. Really think about it. If you giving less based on your concept, then your belief system creates a platform for you to be stingy. Because if you really believe that, you will be giving more. So how much are you giving? Wow. You know, it got quiet like this just in the first service too. If I didn't know better, I would think I was talking to the same group at first service. Look at what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. It says, "Think not that I'm come to destroy the law," Jesus says, "or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy it, but to fulfill." Now, that text lets me know that Jesus was a tither, because strict law keepers could not sit at the table with anyone who did not tithe. And the Pharisees ate with Jesus. They would not have eaten with Jesus if he had not been a tither. And since tithing was incorporated into the law, and most people agree with that, and Jesus fulfilled the whole law, because he said, I came not to destroy, but to fulfill. So if he fulfilled the law and the tither was incorporated in the law, then Jesus would have had to be a tither. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. Not only was Jesus a tither, but Jesus taught tithing. Now let me ask you a question. The Bible says that we are to follow in Jesus' footsteps. That's 1 Peter 2:21. So which footsteps are we to follow? Jesus. No, but which footsteps? Oh. Are we to follow in his footsteps in regards to forgiveness but not tithing? Nope. Are we to follow in his footsteps in regard to holiness but not tithing? The scripture says we're to follow in his footsteps. Matthew 23:23 says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. Jesus says, these you ought to have done, and not leave the other undone. Jesus says in Matthew 23, addressing the Pharisees who were strict tithers, he says, there's nothing wrong with your tithing. He said, you ought to have tithe. You ought to tithe. He said, the problem is you're neglecting some weightier matters. Judgment, mercy, faith. But Jesus said, you ought to tithe. You ought to do this. You ought to do this. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Is anybody out there? Look at verse 12. It says that Abraham is the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Walk in the steps of that faith, our father Abraham. The Bible says that believers are to walk in the steps of our father Abraham, and Abraham was a tither. Amen. Turn to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll rest here. I hear Christians say, now remember, you said we ain't gonna get mad at each other. Come on, lift your hand again and say, I'm not gonna get mad at you. And I ain't gonna get mad at you either. We're gonna stay in love. But I hear Christians say, in Hebrews chapter 6, I hear Christians say, well, you know, ain't nothing in the Bible about tithing in the New Testament. Well, is Hebrews in the New Testament? Is the book of Hebrews in the New Testament? Now, I want you to follow this, and I think we're going to have a graph to show you in a minute. And I want to show you a concept. I think it's going to be very beautiful, because you need to know why you're doing it. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. Tithing is for today. Say that.
Tithing is for today.
Now, listen at this, and then I'm going to read the text, and then I'm going to summarize it. Melchizedek is presented in the New Testament as a type of Jesus Christ's priesthood. So the Bible says, well, the scripture communicates that there are types and shadows, and there were many things that happened in the old covenant that was pointing to Jesus Christ. So Melchizedek in scripture was a type of the priesthood of Jesus Christ. So when I read to you beginning at Hebrews 6:20, I want you to see tithing under two priesthoods. Tithing under two priesthoods. Now let's look at verse 20, and I'm going to walk you through it, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to show you something. I think we got a graph. I want to show you something. Look at verse 20, Hebrews 6, verse 20. Whether the forerunner is for us, enter even Jesus made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For this Melchizedek, we read about him in Genesis, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. We read that in Genesis. To whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now, the scripture says, watch this. It says that Melchizedek was a king and a priest. He was a king of righteousness and king of peace. Now, he's symbolizing Jesus Christ because Jesus is also a king and a priest. Got it? So Melchizedek is foreshadowing Jesus Christ. Now look at what it says in verse 3. It says, Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest how often? Now, when the scripture says, look at this, when the scripture says that Melchizedek was without father, without mother, without descent, no descendants, having neither beginning of days nor end of life. The scripture is not saying that Melchizedek wasn't born or he didn't die. And it does not say that, it's not saying that he didn't have a mother or a father. Melchizedek was a man. Not an angel, he was a man. The Holy Spirit intentionally left out any reference to who his mama was and his daddy was. And the Holy Spirit did not want to record when he was born, and the Holy Spirit did not want to record when he died. He was born and he did die. The reason why the Holy Spirit did not want to record it because Melchizedek was a priest who was representing a priest to come. And Jesus' priesthood would last forever. No beginning, no end. Following me now, just following me, and then I'm going to come back and show you a graph. I'm going to walk you through. Now watch this. Now look at verse 4. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily they are of the sons of Levi, who received the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people. How? According to the law. That is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he, Melchizedek, whose descent is not counted from them, Levi, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed by the better. Now, it was the order of God. Now, listen carefully. It was the order of God that the priest would receive the tithe. Then the priest had the authority to bless the tithe. So there's always a blessing connected to the tithe. Now catch this. Verse 8 says, "Here men that die receive tithes." Now I'm going to come back and summarize it. But there he receiveth them, of whom it is a witness that he liveth. Now let's skip down to verse 11. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should arise? That's Jesus. After the order of Melchizedek, and not according to the order of Aaron. For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, talking about Jesus, which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, not out of Levi, out of Judah, of which Moses spoke nothing concerning priesthood. As it is yet far more evident that after the similitude or likeness of Melchizedek, there arise another priest who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. Say endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now look at verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, say this man, say this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Okay. Now, can you put that graph up there, please? Can you, I think you got a graph for me. Can you put it up on the monitor? I want them to be able to see where I'm going from here. Got that? Can you all see that? Okay. What this text is saying, that this text speaks of two priesthoods. It speaks of the Levitical priesthood and the priesthood of Christ. Got it? So let's go from one side to the other side. And if you'll do this, if you'll keep your Bible open, keep your Bible open. We're going to keep the chart up there, but keep your Bible open to the seventh chapter. Keep your Bible open to the seventh chapter. So the Levitical priesthood is after the order of who? Now, if you look down in your Bible, verse chapter 11, see at the end of that verse, after the order of Aaron. So the Levitical priesthood is after the order of? Now, Jesus' priesthood is after the order of who? If you look down at your Bible, at the end of verse 20, the sixth chapter, it says after the order of Melchizedek. So you got two priesthood. One is after the order of Aaron. The other is after the order of Melchizedek. Now the Levitical priesthood, the priests were born out of the tribe of who? Levi. That's verse 5. See there? And verily they are of the sons of Levi. But Jesus' priesthood came out of Judah. That's verse 14. Look at the beginning of the verse. For it's evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Look at the Levitical priesthood was under the what? You see that in verse 5. They had a commandment to receive tithes according to the law. Now let's look at something that I think is very interesting. Let's look at Jesus' priesthood. Jesus' priesthood predated the law. What does predate mean? It came before the law. Look at verse 6. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes. So Melchizedek received tithes from Abraham 430 years before the law was given. So Jesus' priesthood predated the law. Watch this. And not only did it predate the law, but his priesthood continued at the end of the law, after the law was finished. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3 in your Bible. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priesthood. What? 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 That word continually means uninterrupted. So if Jesus' priesthood is after the order of Melchizedek, it began before the law, and it had to continue after the law because it abides continually, forever, without interruption. Wow. Now, let's skip and go down to the Levitical priesthood did what? They did what? Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. Look at verse 23. It says, and they truly were made priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of what? So the priests on the Levitical priesthood died. Say they died. All of them died. But look at verse 24, Jesus' priesthood. But this man, said this man, because he continueth how long? Has an unchangeable. Now let's go back up to this one. The sons of Levi receive what? Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. And verily they that are the sons of Levi who receive the office of priesthood have a commandment to take or receive tithes. Right? Well, if they receive tithes and Jesus' priesthood, because the priests are ordained to receive tithes, then Jesus will have to receive tithes too. Look at verse 8. My. I don't know how any honest scholar could ignore verse 8. I said, oh, I'll take it back. I'll take it back, because remember, I ain't gonna get mad at you. Come on, say, you ain't gonna get mad at me? And I ain't gonna get mad. Let me say it different. I just don't know how any honest scholar could ignore verse 8. Look at verse 8. And here men that die receive tithes. The Amplifier says, and here in the Levitical priesthood, tithes are received by men who are subject to death. Now look at the contrast. Here men under the Levitical priesthood receive tithes, but they die. Now look at the next verse, part of the verse. But there he receiveth them. Wow. Drop this chart down. Put verse 8 up there. Put verse 8 up there. Put verse 8 up there. We got to look at that. We got to look at that. Oh, God. Hear men. Under the Levitical priesthood, die. They receive tithes, but they die. But there, we talking about a better priesthood. There he receiveth them. The Bible said that Jesus received our tithes. That's new covenant. It says he's contrasting the Levitical priesthood with the priesthood of Christ. The priest always receives tithe and then he confers a blessing. So he says men die here under this Levitical priesthood and they were commanded to receive tithe. But there, Jesus receives our tithe. Now watch this. And the text says the fact that he can receive them is witness or proof that he's still alive. Because dead men can't receive. The fact that he could receive our tithe today is proof that he's still alive. Men that die can't receive them anymore because they died. But Jesus lives forever. And he receives our tithe today. And the fact that he can receive them is proof that he's still alive. Precious people, that's New Testament. That's New Testament. That's not Old Testament. That's New Testament. And the same way that Melchizedek blesses Abraham, Jesus has authority now to bless us. So tithing is an eternal principle, and the fact that Jesus received our tithe is proof that he's alive. I want to close by saying a statement. Now remember, I love you. And I ain't going to get mad at you. Come on, lift your hand up, say, I love you too, Pastor. And I ain't gonna get mad at you. Because I'm getting ready to say something now. I read a statement that a person made. And this person said, the concept of tithing smells like legalism. Not even God has the right to tell me what to do. Come on. Just me and you talking now. Ain't gonna tell nobody. You said, ooh, how could anybody say God didn't have the right to tell me what to do? Christians do it all the time. Come on, now you know everybody ain't where what I'm getting ready to say. You know it doesn't fit everybody, so don't get mad at me. I'm not talking to everybody, so don't write me. Don't call me. I'm not talking to you, precious person. But I'm just talking to some folk here, and they know who I'm talking to. Really? Come on, just me and you. You know the reason you believe that is because it's convenient. And deep down inside, you have a humanistic set idea. You really don't want God telling you to do something with your money. Come on, talk to me. You know it's the truth. You just don't want. See, what you want to do is say, well, I'm under grace. I can give what I want to give. Because now you're in control. Now you can give your $2. And now you can say, I gave cheerfully. Because really, come on, just me and you talking. Really, me and you talking. You really don't want God telling you what to do with your money. My. Just like you don't want God in your relationship. We talked about that. You don't want God in your relationship. You say you can marry who you want to marry. That's just the bottom line. Come on, let's be honest. Just be honest. You want to control it. You don't want God telling you what to do with your money. That's why you hiding behind it. It's a doctrine that you hiding behind because it eases your conscience in being stingy. Now, you remember I told you I love you. I ain't mad at you. And you said you weren't going to be mad at me. You are stingy. The average Christian gives 2.5% of their income. 2.5%. That's why we like doctrines that do away tithing. We like churches don't teach tithing. But I'm your friend. And I know you hiding. But you and I know you stingy. And see, you're going to hear my voice every time you go back. Every time you go hiding behind your little doctor, you're going to hear my voice saying, you're stingy. And it would be better to just say I'm stingy and I'm all right with me than to lie and hide behind something that you know you don't believe. Because if you really believed it, you'd be given more than 10%.